all in ashes, cooking, cleaning, all those kitchen chores.
Welcome back. That's a piece. There are not very many songs written about the life of Frederick Douglass. This was taken from a story of a woman in Comfort, Washington, who was a slave and a confidant and teacher of Frederick Douglass. And Kevin Kane said that when they heard there was no song ever written like this about Frederick Douglass, he wrote this piece. It's a lovely piece, which we'll attach to on our website. And it is he composed it. It's a combination of classical and folk. And Joyce D, the great R&B backup singer, is the voice you hear. And that piece we have on our web. It's called Kevin Kane's Frederick Douglass, A Slave Man and Free. So now we turn our attention here to our guests in the studio, Kwame Kwe Arma, Order of the British Empire, OBE. Artistic director of Center Stage, award-winning British playwright, actor, director, broadcaster, and has been doing so much work around our country since he's come here. Kwame, welcome to the studio.
Good to Thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, my brother.
I always wanted to be OBE if I should, like, bow down or something.
Only bow, only when the lights are out. Is it too early to make those kind of gags? Sorry, it's you can 10 go in the morning.
The lights are on here, 410-319-8888. Write to us at talkinsteinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner, or you can go on our Facebook page, it's the Mark Steiner Show. So this season, before we talk about this season, let me talk about the end of the season. You, I mean, are not just an artistic director and a director, but also a playwright of some note. That's how you first came to Baltimore.
It is indeed.
You were discovered by Baltimore because
absolutely.
Donald Toms and others brought your plays here to
absolutely. Irene seen. Lewis brought my play here. Elmina's Kitchen was the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you are going to compose this piece on Bob Marley. Talk about this.
I can't. I'm so frightened that I don't know what to say. well, the guys who owned the rights came to me, actually, about maybe about 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago. And they said to me, look, we'd really like you to write this play using Bob Marley's music, but not Bob's life. So what we call the underlying rights, the life story, that you cannot have Bob in it, but use his music. So I went, okay. You know, being a lover of all things Bob Marley, I did that. And that project kind of nearly got produced, and then it just kept being knocked back because everybody kept on saying, we want to see Bob. So last year, actually, that kind of project died. And then last year, they approached me again and said, would you do it? And this time with Bob Marley in it. And I went, yes, only if I can do it at Center Stage. And they went, okay. And that's really how this began. And so I kind of went, well, what kind of Bob story do you want? And then I decided that kind of autobiographies in movies or plays are really hard if you span someone's complete life.
Right.
They become,
right.
So I chose what I thought was a really wonderful moment, a really indicative moment of Bob's life, which is sandwiched between the Smile Jamaica concert, which happened in 1977, and the final one concert that he did at the end of 78, which was to bring Jamaica back together again from the brink of civil war. And if anybody knows anything about Marley, there's a wonderful film that we always see with him singing Jammin'. And
yeah, right.
As he's singing Jammin', he takes the hand of the prime minister and the hand of the opposition minister and he puts them together. And that really was a kind of sealing moment in Jamaican history. It kind of took Jamaica from the brink of civil war. And so really the play is set during his 18-month exile in London. And it's when he wrote Exodus and Kaya and some of his best work.
So remind us why he was exiled.
Well, there was an assassination attempt on his life because of the Smile Jamaica concert. And basically, without going into too much detail, Jamaica at the time was a little bit the kind of focal point of the Cold War. It was kind of sandwiched between America and Cuba, vis-a-vis Russia.
Right.
And so the government in power at the time was what many people associated with Cuba.
Michael Manley's government.
Michael Manley's government, exactly.
Right.
And so there was a real war going on. And Bob wanted to do a concert for the people. Actually, he was inspired very much by Stevie Wonder, who had come a couple of years before, done a really great concert in Jamaica, and had dedicated all of his money, all his earnings, to the Salvation Army and to the Jamaican people. And Bob went, I want to do that. And so while Jamaica was amid this curfew, Bob went to the Prime Minister and said, look, I want to do this concert. And the Prime Minister, of course, went, yes. And then a few days later, called an election. And so it looked like Bob was actually being the soundtrack to the Manley government. That caused a lot of trouble, and it ended up with an assassination attempt on Bob's life.
And he went to London.
And then he came down from the mountain, and he performed that night, even though he was only shot the day before. And Rita Marley, his wife, had been shot in the head. And he came down, he performed, and then he went to England for 18 months and just didn't, and just was in exile, did not return to Jamaica for nearly 2 years. And some would say that he wasn't running away, though one of the first songs he recorded when he was in London was Bob's magnificent song, Running Away. But I think he went to protect himself. I mean, spiritually.
Right.
Not physically, but spiritually. He was heartbroken, I think, that anyone would, because he was such a generous man. And his house was open and his wallet was open for the whole community. And I think he was just heartbroken. And so I think, you know, he went to England in order to recoup, in order to rebuild, but also to write these fabulous albums.
Which
Exodus.
Became, these are the songs that people remember the most from him.
Yeah, it's Exodus is the one, I think, Rolling Stone best album of the 20th century. I mean, you know, and he wrote those in London. And a really funny, a really interesting story for me is I was 11 when he was in London. And we got a call asking if he was doing a video and asking if I would come and be in that video, right? For Is This Love, this group of kids. And so I brought loads of my family, loads of my mates. And we all went, and including actually a very young Naomi Campbell. Naomi would have been about 9. And so we all turned up. And we did this video. And when the video came out, everyone that I bought was in the video except for me. So it got to the point where actually in telling this story, Mark, I kept thinking to myself, was I actually there? Or did I just make this up? Because
right.
I mean, because I've looked at the video. Once the internet came out, I've looked at it 100 times just to see if there's a little glimpse of me in a corner there and a little glimpse of me in a corner there. And I was not in it. My cousin Gillian's in it. My friend Angela's in it. Everyone's in it except for me. And then last year, my eldest son, Kwame, he said, Dad, look at this. And he sent me a photograph. And he found a photo with me directly behind Bob Marley clapping.
Oh, phenomenal.
And there I am. And I'm half of my face is hidden, so nobody else would know it. But I went, that's me. And he went, that's you, Dad. And that was just like a gift to my sanity. I was just like, oh, that's no, I great. Was there. I really was there.
And your baby gave it to you.
Yeah, and my baby, my firstborn, gave it to me. So really, that's how we got to creating the Bob Marley musical that's going to happen.
So before we talk about the season, which we're going to do in a few minutes, what are the hearts of this play? And what are the centerpieces of the play?
Well, the centerpiece for me is much, well, you know, Bob doesn't, in this musical, he doesn't break into song and start singing I Don't Want to Wait in Vain to Rita or to someone like that. Every time a little fella-like, actually, Bob's in concert a lot of the way through the show. We see him in concert or we see him in rehearsal or we see him, you know, amid the two big concerts of that period. And I think really what I'm investigating in that play is what is the cost of being an artist who sees his art as bigger than just entertainment? What is the cost of that? How do we respond to pain as artists? Or being let down? And I really, as I said, I'm concentrating on that period of just on his lead up to his exodus and his exodus in London, and looking at what made the man. He was it's easy to say these words, icon, and he was a hero, but in my book, he really was, because even when faced with death, he continued to sing songs of freedom.
Yes.
To create and articulate things that we felt in the diasporic African community that we could only whisper in corners, and he put it out on record and said it to the world and gave us a level of hope, a level of bravery that very few artists ever, in my humble opinion, ever get to truly do without compromise. So really the play is looking at the man and using this period really to investigate why, in my opinion, he really was a hero, not just because he sang some of the greatest songs of the 20th century.
Now, I think that we want Ken to talk about this now, because I think that what you just said is very critical. There is a diasporic voice that in many ways is just being heard and just kind of opening up. I mean, in many ways that experience has enveloped the world on many levels and defined the world on many levels. But I think in some ways for it and for the large world, there's something explosive about that right now.
There is. And I have to say, Mark, I've been very fortunate in my life to have traveled the world, and I've not been in a single country, particularly in the developing world, where I have not heard a Bob Marley song within the first 24 hours of arriving. I mean, you know, I was in a tiny island in the Pacific, and the day one that I arrived, I heard a car driving by. We're playing one of those songs. We know how much Bob inspired the Zimbabwe Revolution. We know how much, you know. And so when we look at today, and we look at the way many communities across the world and even in our own countries feel disenfranchised, no wonder Bob's music still lives. No wonder Bob's music still inspires. Because, as he would say, he speaks to the sufferer. He speaks to the disenfranchised, sings their song in a poetic and beautiful way. So, yes, I mean, you know, his music was written 30, 40 years ago, but is still applicable very much to many of the struggles that we feel personally, not even global studies struggles, but what we feel personally as individuals here and now.
We take a very short break. We'll come right back with Kwame Kwayarma, and we're going to talk about what's happening on Southern Stage, this amazing Amy Herzog Festival coming in, the first in the nation, and all the rest of the season, opening with Amadeus next week.
Soon. yeah. It does. It opens next
September
week.
September 15th, right?
Yeah.
Right? We'll be right back. 17th. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Jump in.
Oh, I love that song. Bob Marley. Exodus, one of the great songs of all time. But let's talk about the rest of the season. Mm. You have, before you announced Marley, you were able to announce this incredible Amy Herzog Festival that no one's ever done before. I think one of the greatest young writers in our world.
Absolutely. Mark, actually, weirdly, today is the first day that I can actually talk about the whole season in the way that I planned it.
I know, exactly.
It's like bizarre. You know, like 8 months ago, I had this season planned, and I could only kind of do bits. And there were, we announced today that directly after Amadeus, which as you said, opens on the 17th, we're going to have Inshango Portobello, or Inshango Ensemble, a 30-piece ensemble from South Africa, come onto our stage and do the magic flute for 4 nights.
Get out of here.
Yeah, baby. And I'm like,
go away. When is that?
That's going to happen. I think that is October. Oh, my God. Now my brain is gone. I think it's...
Sandra will find out in
seconds. I'll come back to you. But it literally, we close at Amadeus. And for me, that's just magnificent that we're able to have, because there's a big section in Amadeus about the magic flute.
Yeah.
And then in comes the magic flute performed by this South African ensemble using the music as it is, but played with marimbas and percussion. And I mean, it's going to blow the roof. If last season, Mark, was a season of laughter, this season is going to be a season of music.
It really is, isn't it?
Well, it goes from Mozart to Marley by the way of One Night in Miami and Sam Cooke. I mean, it's literally just going to be filled with music. Actually, the and Shango come in on October 17th to the 19th, and they'll be doing 4 or 5 shows there. So I'm really excited, as I said, because for the first time to actually be able to talk about the whole season. I'm really excited also about, I'm excited about all of them, about One Night in Miami, which is...
January the 14th.
Yeah, which is about the night that the then Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And he just became the world champion, and he invited back to his hotel room Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown. And this actually happened, and I visited the hotel, or actually they're reconstructing the hotel in Miami. And when he left that hotel room with those men later, he then announced to the world that he was a Muslim and that he would now be called Muhammad Ali. I mean, it's a real fun play that's filled with the music of Sam Cooke as well. I mean, so I'm very, very excited.
So Kemp Powers is the playwright?
Kemp Powers,
Kemp
that's
Powers,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so are all the, I don't know this play, so are all the, those characters in the play?
Yes, they are. All the characters are in the play.
So it takes place that night?
It takes place in that very hotel room.
Gotcha.
And what's fun about that is that I went to see it. We're doing the East Coast premiere. I went to see it in Los Angeles. And the night that I went, Muhammad Ali's daughters were sat behind me. And, you know, it's really something when you're going to see your dad on stage. And I was a bit like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And at first, there's a moment when Muhammad Ali drinks, takes a drink of alcohol. And I heard one of the daughters say, that ain't daddy. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get an inside scoop all the way through. But by the end of the play, they were jumping and cheering, and they ran and they hugged the actor playing Ali and took photographs and actually texted to their father right then. I mean, it was a really exciting time. But then, as you said, Mark, then I'm really excited about the
Are you directing this?
I am directing that.
And have you picked the cast yet?
We're amid doing that right now. It's going to be really interesting,
I think.
I think we're going to be able to get some nice people in
it. I can't wait.
And then, as you said, the Herzog Festival. I love this writer. I mean, she's America. She's one of America's brightest young writers. And I think nearly every other community across America were doing one of her plays. And I wanted to introduce Amy to Baltimore, not just so we have an opinion on one of her plays, but actually that we were able to investigate the body of her work. So there's 4,000 Miles, which will play in repertory with
Connie Hickman's last play before
she
left us.
Absolutely,
that was the last play she did.
I know, and she was so magnificent.
She
in
was.
It.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
You know, rest in peace, and sending love to her husband Donald. And then after the Revolution. A marvelous play, which looks at in an odd way, not in an odd way, actually in a really interesting way, the Jewish story.
Yes,
and I find it so fascinating the movement of the Jewish community in America, and it has the grandmother and the great grandmother through to the youngest member of the family, and what the political machinations of being Jewish in America meant. And how generations negotiate with their inheritance and their heritage. I find it very fascinating. So those two plays will play in rep, and we've commissioned her to write a new 10-minute play, which we'll film and play on the theater and on our website. So really, our audience at Center Stage, like nowhere else in the country, will be able to come in and really be immersed in this most brilliant young writer.
That's so exciting. This is wonderful things you're doing with this theater. I mean, with the people around you as well.
Yes, Mark.
That you built. I mean, I think this is exciting new theater in Baltimore. People don't realize that this city of ours is becoming Seattle and Chicago.
Yeah, baby.
When it comes to theater.
It really is. And, you know, this really is the kind of season that I really wanted to bring to Center Stage when I arrived. Something international, something that had, in the terms of Enshango, something classic in the terms of Amadeus, something new in the way of the Bob Marley musical, and something for all of the theater lovers in the terms of Herzog. I wanted to this is the kind of season that I've always wanted to produce. And now we just have to produce the goods. But, you know, we could do that, I'm
You're
sure.
You're going to do that.
We're going to do that.
So let's talk about a couple, before we have to roll, and I want to make sure we get this all out here. Next to Normal and It's a Wonderful Life.
Those yes. Two. Well, Next to Normal, a magnificent kind of genre-defining musical that comes in after Amadeus. And I was really fascinated by this because it's one of the first, I think it may even be the first musical to where the book won the Pulitzer Prize. I mean, it's that wonderful. And it's a modern musical. And I said when I arrived here that I would bring musicals to the
theater. Do you always love musicals?
I always love musicals. Okay. I used to be a singer, so it's always, you know, it's in my bones. But I wanted to bring a musical that I thought that actually was pushing the boundaries, and Next to Normal, a really exciting musical, does that. And then of course we have our wonderful holiday special, It's a Wonderful Life. And I'm really excited about it because the director that we've got, he actually directed a version of this before at another theater, which I saw. And I was like, we need this in Baltimore. It's going to be a wonderful holiday spectacular.
This is built as a radio play.
Yeah.
So it's going to be done like the old 1930s radio plays?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With Foley and people doing the sound effects in the back. I mean, it's a lovely lovely story for the family.
I love that.
An American classic in its most beautiful sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when I first looked at this play, I went, When I first quickly looked at the season, at the very beginning, I went, what is this season? Let me figure out what's going on here. But then this whole idea of can in some ways bringing some joy to the stage.
Yes.
But not with a lack of seriousness.
No, totally.
Right, what I'm saying?
Totally. I mean, I think, Mark, you know, choosing a season is always hard. There are so many variables.
Yeah.
But I think, as I said, if last season the theme was the heart, it was laughter. You know, this season the theme is music in its many guises. If I want to fill the halls and I want to fill the theaters and the corridors with a sense of joy and music. While investigating, you know, the story of Amadeus is a tragedy. You know, the story of Marley is one of a hero's quest to find himself. So it's not musicals in the way that, you know, just run on down and see someone sing and dance.
Right.
We're hoping that it has depth, meaning, but also has a sense of upliftment in a way that only music can do.
Kwame Kwayarma, thank you so much.
Mark, thank you for always being a wonderful supporter, not just of Center Stage, but of the artistic community period here in Baltimore. You're a real hero, and I mean that without smoke.
Thank you, brother. So it's good to see you again, and on to this great season. I'm very excited and looking forward to doing shows in each one of these productions coming up.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to have given you the scoop.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. That's it. That's what I want to hear. All right. We're going to take a very big break and come right back. When we do come back, we're switching gears. We're going to talk a little about the Islamic State. Stay with us.
Let's stay out all night tonight. Let's go.